Oh, snaps.
The world is finally waking up to the crap that's baked into and sprayed on kibble dog food. No longer can commercial pet food manufacturers fool us with pretty pictures and false promises. This is the raw dog food truth. The view and opinions expressed on this podcast are not intended to replace medical advice. Before starting any raw diet, do research, ask lots of questions, and consult your vet.
Hey, good morning, everybody. I am Dee Dee Mercer Moffitt, the CEO of Raw Dog Food and Company, where your pet's health is our business and we're friends. Don't let friends feed kibble. Is that not right, Dr. Jasek?
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's my new mantra. You got to stop the kibble, you know? And even if people are not 100% like we're ready to go right into raw, they have to get off the kibble. And then they'll progress into, you know, people will typically see the benefit and progress into feeding raw, but don't feed the kibble. You know,
right.
You got to get off the kibble. Kibble is so bad. It's dead. It's toxic. It's, you know, we were just talking, you know, pre-show about, you have no idea what's even in the kibble. You people worry about, you know, sourcing on the raw food, and they should know where the raw food is coming from. But where are those ingredients in the kibble come? Do you have any idea where that stuff's? They have dead. They've proven that they even put euthanized animals in kibble. I mean, there's horrific ingredients in kibble. So, you know,
but the
know
bags
what you're feeding.
But the bags are so pretty.
The bags are pretty. And they have those cute commercials with the golden retrievers running through the field of daisies and, you know, yeah, all that. That associative marketing, right?
Well, we couldn't. I mean, people, certainly the people in power could not be fooling America today. That doesn't happen, does it? Au contraire.
Media wouldn't ever lie.
Well, okay. No. I want to tell you about something that I saw today. Came out on One America News, okay? This is on the coronavirus. CDC says this, that of the 220,000 people that were listed to have died of the coronavirus, well, 131 of those patients, Dr. Jasek, had life-ending diseases. 10,000 of those people were on hospice care. 87,000 of them died of pneumonia and influenza. 44,000 of them died of hypertension, and 51,000 died of heart attacks. Okay. All right. And the doctors came out and said, well, because of the CARES Act, right? The CARES Act that was initiated once this coronavirus came over, they were paid by Medicare a 20% bonus on all of those that they listed as died of the corona.
Yeah. No incentive there.
Mm-mm. No, there's no sales incentive. I mean, that is criminal. That is criminal. All of these people whose lives have been upended by this. And now, after we've been saying this for how long, they're going to come out and say this after, you know, business after business has been affected. I'm furious, and everybody should be furious about that.
Yeah. And, you know, I think a lot of people just don't want to acknowledge. I get it's a hard pill to swallow that you've been lied to, but you really need to face that we're not getting the truth in mainstream media, and you need to get your information from other sources, and you need to think for yourself. Just think about this. Why is nobody talking about the flu this year? I am so distrustful of these tests and all these, you know, new positives that I was thinking the other day, I wonder if they're testing for the flu. Who would know?
There's no money in the flu. Come on.
They're detecting flu so that they can say it's all coronavirus, so that they can do more shutdowns and, you know, follow through with their agenda. But how do we know that there's even any accuracy whatsoever in these tests? Because I think it's just a big agenda to sell the vaccines. And who knows what they're testing for? We have no idea.
It's funny. The frontline doctor said, oh, no, we're not taking that vaccine. Are you crazy? We're not taking it. So there's a lot of controversy out there, especially on this censorship. Oh my gosh. I was reading that from the day that Trump and many of the Republicans got banned from Twitter and Facebook, there's been a combined $51 billion lost because of what they've done. So I don't know if that affects these trillion-dollar companies or not. I mean, $51 billion, come on. This isn't any big deal. I don't know if it is. So Dr. Jasek, let's talk a little bit about some success stories that we've seen on the raw diet. Of course, we see them all the time, and I think we forget to talk about them here. But you've had some patients with DCM, a dilated cardiomyopathy, right? And then they've gotten on the raw diet, and you've seen some changes. So can you tell our listeners about why we're so passionate about raw, what we see out in our customers and our patients?
Yeah, so I have seen, I've actually had several cases now where I have seen heart conditions improve by changing the diet. Now, some of these have been like rescue dogs where we don't know the whole background, but the people come in to see me and they really want to get the dog, you know, healthy. And I'll hear a heart murmur. Not all of these patients have had like the actual echocardiogram where we know exactly what's going on, but I'll hear a heart murmur and we change the nutrition and the heart murmur, you know, diminishes or sometimes goes away completely. And so I saw a case this week. It was actually a follow-up. This is a dog I've been treating for lymphoma, got lymphoma, but also has heart. Dog was diagnosed with DCM, with dilated cardiomyopathy. And on the most recent echo that they had done, which is just within the last couple of weeks, actually says in the report that the DCM has resolved. There's no signs of it. Now, this dog is on heart medications, and I believe they did also do a taurine supplement, which I think is what the cardiologist credited with the turnaround, because most conventional veterinarians are not going to give any credit to the raw diet. But I am a firm believer that the raw diet was probably the biggest contributing factor, because we're giving good nutrition and we're giving taurine and all the amino acids in a bioavailable form. Because unless you're measuring taurine levels, you have no idea how well those supplements are even working. And when we give raw, we're giving these nutrients in a bioavailable form. And I think the most important takeaway from this is we've been hearing over and over and over since this whole DCM thing came out a number of years ago that dogs need grain to be healthy. So if dogs need grain to be healthy, why are we seeing DCM resolve on a raw diet? I mean, to me, that is just blatant evidence that this whole thing that dogs need grain to have a healthy heart is just a bunch of crap.
Yeah, you know, I've always wondered why they came out with this dogs need grain. I just don't get it. You know, whether it was because they didn't want to pull grains out of food, that they needed something to replace the most expensive piece, which is animal protein. I don't know. I don't know why there was this grains do the heart good thing. Because
I think it was just a campaign to sell these foods that have grain in. You know, the big companies, your Hills and Royal Canin and Purina, they all have all of their foods, all of these prescription diets have a bunch of grain in them. So they don't want anything coming out saying that, you know, grain is bad. So they're going the other way and saying they want to hurt the small businesses that are, you know, promoting grain-free diets, or, you know, and they just lumped raw, they lumped all the boutique diets together, the, you know, the grain-free kibbles and the raw got all lumped together, which isn't accurate, obviously. But I think it was just a chance for them to promote feeding their diets that have grain in them. And, you know, by saying, well, dogs need grain to have a healthy heart, then they can promote those diets. And the veterinary profession has totally bought into it. It just flusters me to no end that veterinarians don't think, it doesn't even make logical sense. Why does a carnivore need grain to have a healthy heart? You see wolves out there, you know, grazing in the cornfields, like, no, they're eating elk. You know, like, if you knew nothing and you just kind of thought about it logically, it doesn't make any sense.
So here's a question. When they are looking at DCM in dogs, do they test for the taurine levels before giving them a taurine supplement?
Sometimes yes, sometimes no. It's actually an expensive test to run. I've looked at just the lab cost, like my cost from the lab to run that test is several hundred dollars.
Wow.
Yeah.
Seriously?
Yeah. It's just ridiculously expensive. And so, you know, I mean, that's almost, you know, people have to pay as much as getting the echo done to get the test. So a lot of times people will just start the supplement because it's safe, you know, it's an amino acid. It's safe to give it. So they will actually just start them on the supplement. But, you know, so yeah, so you're not measuring level. I wish the tests were cheaper and then we could run it a whole lot more and we would have a more accurate answer. But it has, I mean, taurine has been linked to DCM. It was linked to cardiomyopathy in cats decades ago, probably 25 years ago. They found that, you know, cats being obligate carnivores need to have taurine added in. And cats cannot make it at all on their own. They have to get it from the diet. They started adding a lot of clam juice into like canned cat food and stuff because that's a real high source of taurine. But, you know, you feed a raw, fresh meat diet and, you know, muscle meat, some organs, you know, they're going to be getting plenty of taurine. So yeah, it'd be nice to have those exact numbers, but you know, unless the price of the test comes down, probably isn't going to happen.
Well, here's the thing. Where can you get taurine? Well, in the raw diet. So taurine is found in most animal proteins, all right? But the ones that are highest in taurine are going to be poultry, fish, brain, heart, liver, okay? And then your ones that have lower amounts, they still have some taurine in them, are going to be beef, lamb, and goat, eggs, and dairy. So if you have these amino acids, which are cysteine and methionine, right? The dogs can make their own taurine. Cats, as you said, cannot. So anyway, you know, we talk about doing a variety of foods. This always comes back to that complete and balanced question. Recently, we just had another question. I need to understand if, you know, if I'm rotating the PMR blends and I'm rotating the ones that have the veggies in it, and I'm also giving green tripe, am I getting a complete and balanced diet? Or the question is it complete and balanced? So, you know, we always here at Raw Dog Food and Company want to help you help yourself, right? Because if you don't know what complete and balanced is in your own mind, it doesn't matter what I tell you, right, Dr. Jasek? I can tell you that a pig's hoof is balanced.
Right. Because I think there's a lot of propaganda out there that says that raw diets aren't balanced. So what does that mean? You know, it's just a word unless you know exactly what it means, and it's an idea and it's an excuse to not feed raw. You know, I think, you know, people sometimes get ideas in their head that there's something wrong with raw, or they've heard that it's, you know, not balanced and all these different things. And they don't even know, I mean, how many people actually know what a balanced diet is? Because if you're just looking at the label on a commercial food and you see all these cool little, you know, nutrients on there and the AFCO stamp of approval, you have no idea if that can even benefit your pet, because all of those nutrients are synthetic. Because when you're processing a kibble, you're cooking all the nutrition out of the ingredients, literally. There's no natural nutrition in that. They're cooking all the ingredients and then they're spraying a multivitamin on at the end of processing and hoping that that's enough to keep dogs healthy. So if that's what is balanced or in, you know, somebody's mind, if that's what a balanced diet is, well, you could be doing your pet a really, really big disservice.
Well, a lot of people look for this AAFCO label, right? And the truth of the matter is that AAFCO has not been able to keep up with the changes in the way that we eat, and they primarily change the dog foods as our food changes. It really does if you take a look back, but they haven't been able to keep up over the last 20 or 30 years. Okay. So I was reading an article and it was saying that, you know, think about this. In the 80s, we wanted fat-free foods. And then in the 90s, we wanted grain-free or gluten-free. Then in 2000, we wanted high protein and paleo foods. And today we want farm-to-table novel proteins and vegan diets. And if you look at what the foods we feed our pets, they're largely based on our own food choices. All right. So when you say, well, complete and balanced, what is, you know, again, we always have to come back. What does that mean in your own diet? And what we say always, yes, there are some principles that you want to adhere to. At least an 80-10-10 model, right? At least 80% protein, at least 10% organ, and at least 10% bone. Do we think that that's all you need? No. Give them some duck heads. Give them some bison testicles. Give them some leafy greens. Give them some broccoli, right? Give them some tripe. Give them bison scapula. We love that. That's a hot product that we have right now. It's really nice. It's really nice. It's cartilage. So that is, it's variety, 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 as long as you have that base down. Would I be correct in saying that, Dr. Jasek?
Yeah, absolutely. You start with the basic blends. That's exactly what I tell people. Start with the basic blends. If they're just transitioning to raw, I say start with that basic blend. Make sure, you know, your dog's eating that, they got good poops and all that. And then you start to experiment. And I think what's really important, you know, I think a lot of people want, they just want to know, what do I put in my dog's dish every day? And they don't want to have to think about it. Well, you have to think about it and you have to decide you're going to rotate in some of these different things. And then you have to look at the pet, because there is no one size fits all diet, even with the raw rotations. Dogs are going to do differently on different formulations based on their individual microbiome. So some do better with a little bit of vegetable fiber in there. You know, I'm starting to add a little bit more of that in here and there, and seeing how pets do on it, because it feeds the microbiome, helps create a healthy microbiome. Some pets don't do well on produce. So we have to start with the basics and then experiment. You rotate in the fish, you rotate in the, you know, testicles and the scapulas and the different body parts, and you see how your pet does. If something doesn't tend to agree with it, then don't feed that. If there's a particular blend that, you know, your pet doesn't do well on, then, you know, don't feed that blend. Look at your pet. But it doesn't mean that there's anything wrong with the food if something doesn't seem to agree with your pet. It just may not be the best thing for your pet, and it may not be the best thing for your pet at that point in time, because their bodies are always changing. So sometimes if you're just transitioning to raw, we're retraining the digestive tract to digest something completely different. So sometimes you just have to start basic, give the body a little time to adapt. You start to rotate in some different things. Maybe that doesn't agree with the dog. Well, then, you know, maybe eliminate that and then try reintroducing it again later, a few weeks down the road, because their bodies are adapting and they're learning how to digest a very different food. And we've talked about, this is a whole metabolic shift. We're changing not only the digestion, but the whole metabolism in the body. And that takes time. That's why some individuals just, man, you can just put them cold turkey on raw. I mean, I have clients that say, I'm just going for it. I'm just going to do it. We'll see what happens. Like, okay. And then I talk to them later and like, everything went great. Other pets, yeah, not so much. It takes a little bit longer, and I think that has to do with their history and how much damage has been done to the gut. So if they don't transition well to raw, a lot of times it's because the gut's just been so hammered with poor diets and medications and things like that. But my point is, every dog is different, and you have to look at your individual pet and say, okay, this works great right now. This doesn't work so well. And then you come up with a diet that's ideal for your pet. And then you learn what rotation. Like, I know if my dogs have a soft stool, I might've been given a little too much organ meat. And then, so I need to back off on that. You need to vary it with the pet. So look at your pet and be educated and know how to change the routine to best suit the individual.
Yeah, I was laughing because I've never been one who worries too much about my dog's poop. Now, I will say this. If I saw them shooting bloody diarrhea out their back end for several days, I might be concerned. But I do weigh out my food. I always have. I've just always have, right? And I've always warmed up my food. Except in the summertime, you know, like if my dogs have been out working hard or something like that, then, you know, I give them, it's straight out of the fridge. So I've done some things over the years, but I keep my organs. So I get the individual 1 pound organs, right? So we have the beef, the lamb, the chicken, the duck, the turkey. We have different organs, just organs. And they're very soft, as you've probably seen. So I keep them in a different container. And I weigh out their food, and then I just put some extra organs in. So sometimes I don't even know how much organs. And I don't do that all the time. But the other day, I took the dogs out, and Lazzie's poop were pretty, you know, it was still formed, but it was more runny than the other times. And I'm like, okay, big deal. You know, I gave her some extra organs, just like what you were saying. And then, you know, if I change over and do a lamb has the highest bone content, you know, they can be pretty hard. But again, I like that, Dr. Tracy, because that mimics what they would be doing in the wild. Some days, you know, you read about animals that they're just going to eat bones. They're at the end of the totem pole of their pack, right? So they don't get to go for all the meat and stuff. We had an actual video of 4 mountain lions down the street here. I live up in the mountains. So the pack, and you see that the 3 are sitting back while the mom's chomping down, right? She gets the best part of the kill first, and then they get to come in. So some days, you know, they're just getting the leftovers and they're getting the more bones than anything. It's probably why they're going after the dogs up here and the cats. But anyway, so my point is, again, and I think we say this almost every podcast, it's variety, variety, variety. It does not matter if some days their poops are looser than others. If some days, you know, the poops are too hard, I say mix the lower bone with the higher bone. Add some tripe. Add some organs. There's a lot of things that you can do. But by and large, oh, I did want to ask you this question. So I had a call the other day, and this is something that we get, but the sweet customer just started the raw diet. And her little Yorkie woke up and wasn't using his back legs. And so she said, is there something in the raw diet that he's missing that's causing his back legs to go out? And I said, I don't think so. But I would rather you talk to Dr. Jasek about that. So I just wanted to bring that up and say, what would be causing, and I don't know, I haven't heard back if the legs began to move again, but do you see anything in the raw diet or lacking in the raw diet that would cause a dog's mobility to be compromised?
No, there has to be something else going on with, you know, with that dog. Now, I guess the only thing I can think of in terms of, you know, if it's a new transition to raw, you know, they're just getting started. You know, sometimes, again, we're retraining the digestive tract. So sometimes if dogs get a little gassy, get a little bloaty, they can get uncomfortable enough that it looks like they're not, you know, not walking normal, quote unquote, normal. That's one of those things that I would want to see the dog or see a video of the dog. Is the dog truly not using the back legs or just walking differently? But if the dog all of a sudden is not using its back legs, that's a neurologic issue. And you'd have to have some, you know, severe malnutrition to be contributing to that if it was a nutrient deficiency, and you'd have a whole host of other problems as well. There would never be, I can't think of a case where you'd have malnutrition causing a dog to not be able to walk properly, they wouldn't have a whole host of other symptoms first, you know, before it got to that point. So that's another one of those. Yeah, there's got to be more to the picture here.
Well, and let me just give you another picture that I didn't think about until the other day. So Lassie, who is our Shih Tzu dog who goes through much training, right? And we work with the trainer who's been training Shih Tzu dogs, which is the German Shepherd breed, sort of their training, for 45 years, okay? And we were talking about injuries in dogs, and he was saying, listen, you want to be careful when you're playing ball with dogs. And he said, and here's why. I've seen many dogs who go up, jump straight up for a ball. And he said, and they can come down and tweak their tail, and their career is over, right? So we're talking about these working dogs specifically. But I was thinking about the way that dogs play and how that really can affect their mobility. And I don't think that certainly, because Lassie loves to play ball. But when she plays, this dog is so on it, man, that she will slide. And I was watching her, and she could really tweak herself. She could tear an ACL. They can tweak their neck. They can tweak their backs. All types of things can happen just from dogs playing, because they don't – all they're doing is they're focused on that ball. I wish I was as focused as a dog, right, on certain – because it nothing, a tree, doesn't matter. They'll run into a tree. They're going after that ball. But I was thinking about this, to really talk to our pet parents about, you know, careful the way that you play ball with your dog. And so his advice was this: if you're going to play ball, do not throw the ball where they're jumping straight up or where it can bounce and go straight up so that they're jumping up. And because the way that they come down is not natural, and can severely tweak the ligaments in the leg, the hips, the back, and the neck.
Oh, yeah, because they can easily tear out like a tear cruciate that way. They come down, and you think about it, you know, they're coming down. They're not, you know, paying attention to their landing, and it's very easy for them to kind of land on one leg and pivot. You know, they're coming down, and they put a lot of torque. So imagine the whole body weight of a big dog on one leg, and then they twist it. And you can so easily tear a ligament or, you know, do injuries that way. So yeah, absolutely. You have to think about it. That's why I'm a big, big, big believer in chiropractic care and body work for dogs, massage, because they are so hard on their bodies. And something gets a little tweaked in the spine and you can get them in, get them adjusted. Get some chiropractic, get some massage, maybe some acupuncture, and you can release those muscle spasms. You're going to potentially prevent a lot of chronic pain if you stay on top of that. I think it's huge for, you know, these dogs that are really active, which really is most dogs, you know, and they all do crazy things. They're not thinking about, oh my gosh, I'm going to, you know, tweak my back doing this. It's like you said, they get an idea in their head and they're doing it. You know, they're not thinking about the consequences. Dogs are very much in the moment. You know, they got their ball or whatever their focus is, and, you know, they're going for it unless their body completely breaks down, which at some point, you know, they will if they're, you know, injuring themselves over and over again.
So on our experts page, if you are here in Colorado, Dr. Andy is a great, great chiropractor, great friend of yours, Dr. JC, great friend of ours. We love her. She does a great job. So think about getting your dog over to a chiropractor. Now I want to ask you, how do you do chiropractic work on those little bitty itty bitty dogs of yours?
Dr. Andy works her magic. She brings her dogs in for ozone treatments, and then we trade. So I do ozone on her, a couple of her dogs. We do some ozone treatments, and then while she's here, she'll do my little dogs. And my littlest one is 5 pounds, and she hates it. She just, you know, she knows. And Dr. Andy, you know, walks in the door, she'll be giving her the eye, you know. But then when it's all over and done, you know, she's perfectly happy to take her treats, and the bottom line is they feel better. I mean, my little one is a little princess. She doesn't like anything that's not her idea, but the bottom line is my dogs are 14 now, and you know, they get more aches and pains, and they benefit tremendously from the chiropractic care. I actually get them adjusted about once a month, or at least every, you know, 4 or 5 weeks. And it really helps keep them moving. It's just so good for them. Anytime I see kind of a chronic lameness that isn't really obvious, like something's broken or torn ligament, I recommend chiropractic care before even x-rays sometimes. You know, just go get the adjustment done, because you can always circle back and get the x-rays, get more information if necessary, or if Dr. Andy thinks, ooh, there's something more going on here, we really need x-rays. But sometimes an adjustment or two, and they're fine. It's amazing. It's amazing the benefit it can have in dogs.
So you are a big believer in acupuncture?
Mm-hmm. I think acupuncture can help too. I think if you don't, If the spine is out of alignment and you don't correct that alignment, then the other therapies are not going to have, you know, as good of an effect. I mean, I know this in myself, because I get body work. I go to the chiropractor, or I get massage, and I can tell in my own body, like, you know, okay, I'll go into a massage. Yeah, that felt good, but something's just bugging me. And then I know I need to go to the chiropractor because something's out of alignment. But they also work really well together, because if you don't relax the muscles, sometimes the chiropractic adjustments are not as effective. And I do believe that Dr. Andy has a massage therapist working with her, but acupuncture it basically helps remove energy blocks in the body. You have energy meridians going through your body, and it can help with all sorts of conditions. It can definitely help with pain, because sometimes stuck energy can cause pain, but all sorts of issues, like digestive issues or other things. Acupuncture is very balancing for the body in general, and it does help relax the muscle. So I think, you know, there's no magic bullets, you know, right? I think dogs benefit, especially older dogs. I've had, you know, some patients, you know, gosh, they've gotten up to be 16, 17, 18 years old. And the one thing that I see with these patients is their pet parents they're getting all these different therapies. They're doing chiropractic, they're doing acupuncture, they'll come into me for ozone. They're doing all these different things to help keep the dog healthier, longer, and feeling better longer. You know, it's about quality of life. We want the dogs to be comfortable.
And ozone isn't just for cancer patients, right? You will do ozone for these elderly dogs, right? They were talking about the senior dogs. That just helps them feel better. That's part of the healthy plan.
Oh yeah. And I hear that all the time. It's, you know, it's a benefit. A lot of times we start out treating, you know, cancer. That's why people come in. Then we start doing the ozone, people come back. They're so amazed that, so we like, we'll change the diet, get them on raw, we'll be doing ozone. And I'm like, can you quiet my dog down a little bit? Because they got so much energy now, I don't know what to do with them. Like, they used to just want to sleep all day. And now they always want to be doing something, you know? It's like, they're so amazed and they're happy about it, but they're like, now what do I do with this dog? Because it's got tons of energy. And even in the geriatrics, you know, they'll, people will see a huge difference when they come in for the ozone, and the dogs just have energy. They feel good. They go home. They want to play. You know, it's just, it's so great. It's so great to see, because it's just such a simple treatment that has, you know, no downside really outside of, you know, the time and money it takes, but you know, twice a month in an older dog can make a world of difference.
The only negative side to that is that the pet parents say, why didn't I do this sooner? I'm like, I know. Yes, we've been trying to tell you. We've been talking every week right here on the Raw Dog Food Truth, trying to tell you guys. But sometimes, you know, people just wait a little bit too long. So don't beat yourself up. You know, you can't unknow it, right? You can turn us off. You don't have to listen to us. But definitely, we see this every single day. So we have a very good reason why we say, friends don't let friends feed kibble. Okay? So listen, you guys want to work with Dr. Judy Jasek? I don't know, Dr. Jasek, can you take any more patients? I mean, you're blowing up over there. You're blowing up.
We are. But we are. We do want to keep getting people in. We're booking a little further out. So if you're interested in, you know, getting in, you might have a bit of a wait depending on what your schedule is like. But I am looking into hiring more help so we can keep accommodating people, because, you know, this is so important and we're seeing the results. It's why people keep coming back and they keep sending people in, because they see the results. And we, you know, we encourage people to, I think people like to be educated, and they like to know like what they're doing with their pet. This whole disconnect now with the COVID thing, where people can't go into the vet's office. That's just so absurd to me that they're not letting people come in with their pets. But I think one of the reasons why we've become even more popular is people do come in. And, you know, I have a conversation with them about their pet, and people leave feeling informed and empowered to know what to do. That's my goal. Like, I want people to feel empowered that they know what to do. People, there's so much information out there, and so many people get so confused. They don't know what to do. So my goal is to help educate people so they leave feeling like, okay, when these things happen with my pet, I know how to handle that. I feel informed, and I feel like I know how to, you know, take care of my pet to, you know, to a degree at home with, you know, with some of the, you know, simple things. So education is just huge for me. I really want people to know, because that's the one thing I hear a lot. And people come in to the conventional clinics, like, well, I sat in the parking lot for 4 hours and I spent $1,000, and I still don't know what's going on with my pet, and I don't understand what all these tests were for, and they're not getting any information. And that's hugely negligent on the part of the profession. So we're trying to create a new paradigm here in veterinary care.
Yeah, well, I can attest. So I will ask people, did you get this test? Did you get this vaccine? Did they explain? I don't know. You don't know? You got to know. You need to know. That's your job to know. Don't just blindly go into it, and understand that you have the right to know, right? So this is something that I think in our time and place right now, that people are trying to say, you don't have the right to know. You don't have the right to speak. You don't have the right to act. Yeah, you still do. And you need to stand up and as you say, Dr. Jasek, be a champion for your pet, right?
Right.
Be a champion. Absolutely. All right, everybody. Thank you so much for joining the Raw Dog Food Truth podcast. If you have friends that are complaining about their dogs having allergies or skin issues or digestive issues, poop issues, they don't want to eat, just have them come on over and listen to the podcast here at the Raw Dog Food Truth. Remember, you can buy gift certificates for people on our site. Uh-huh. You want to try to, yeah, you say, hey, look, let me get you a gift certificate, and maybe you could try this out. Remember, if you want to work with Dr. Jasek, her website is AHA, Apple, Harry, Apple, vet.com. All right. And rawdogfoodandco.com is where you can find us. All right, everybody, we'll see you next week right here on the Raw Dog Food Truth.
Oh, snap.
Find out how you can start your dog on the road to health and longevity. Go to rawdogfoodandcompany.com, where friends don't let friends feed kibble, and where your pet's health is our business.
Just snap.